Announcing from every hilltop, the gospel of Christ. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Take a moment now and join us as we unleash the riches of God's Word with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Grateful you've tuned in for another edition of Abounding Grace. We are studying this week John chapter 4 and the woman at the well. And yesterday we sort of set the stage looking at what's happening. And remember, verse 4 was a very crucial verse in our study of John chapter 4, where it said that Jesus needed to go through Samaria. The Jews wouldn't travel there. There were many ways to get to Galilee, and Samaria was not the way that one needed to go to get there. Remember, too, that the Jews purposely avoided Samaria because they were their enemies. The Jews and the Samaritans did not get along. Look at what it says. He needed to go through Samaria. Why? Well, we looked at yesterday. That's the same truth as what the Lord said to Paul when he was in danger in Corinth. For I am with you, and no one will attack you to hurt you, for I have many people in this city. Do you hear that? In a given city, the Lord has his people. His people, his elect, whom he's going to save, who he's going to go after, and that is beautifully pictured here in John chapter 4. Christ had this woman on his mind, this enslaved woman who was not even a Jew, and according to the Pharisees, was the worst of sinners. Christ had to go through Samaria for her. Now, my friends, I find that wonderfully comforting today that our Lord has come to this world of lost sinners, and at this particular moment, at this particular hour, he had to go to Samaria to save this woman at the well. He had a divine appointment on his divine calendar. And the whole path of saving sinners was mapped out for him. Those who were given to him by the Father, he would save. Nothing would pluck them from his hand. He would not lose one of them. Nothing would frustrate that. Not even the Pharisees here, who in the beginning verses of John chapter 4 want to prematurely take him out. But it's not his hour. Now I say that today for you to think about. You believed in the gospel. You've trusted in Christ. You felt conviction for your sin. That means that the same thing has happened to you. The Lord has come to you. The Lord had purposed to save you. And what a comforting truth for the Christian. That's why election is one of the most comforting doctrines. Because what it means is that the Lord has reached down and he will save you. Even if you fight against it, he is going to bring you to the place where he is going to bring you, because he has come to seek and save that which is lost. And in fact, the first two figures whom Jesus saves here, Nicodemus and this woman at the well, both of them, by the way, fought against it. Jesus would not have that. He was going to have these in his kingdom. He had come for them. So we read in verse 5 that Jesus came to that city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to Joseph. And Jesus is making here a grand revelation. The Lord has come in the flesh. He has taken on our human natures. He has come and he sits at the very water source, the symbol of religious life, the well, Jacob's well. So Jesus arrives here about the sixth hour. He's weary from the journey. We read in verse 7 that a woman of Samaria came to draw water. Now again, Jesus knows her. He knows everything about her. He has known her. He has set his love upon her from the foundation of the world. He chose her from the foundation of the world that she should be holy and blameless before him in love. She's not right now. So here he comes and he engages her. Woman, give me a drink. Now that's a fascinating way to engage. She has no idea who is standing in front of her. He knows everything about her. He knows her past. He knows every sin she's ever done. And all she can see is earthly boundaries, racial boundaries, and how great they were. A man did not talk with a woman in those days like we so openly do today. Add to this, Jews never talked to Samaritans. Add to that, a rabbi, which Jesus was, never would have addressed an adulteress. She has all these barriers, racial barriers in mind. And in verse 9, then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?" Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Actually, it literally reads, Jews do not use the same vessels together with Samaritans. The Jews call us unclean, impure, defiled. How is it, O stranger, that you ask me, unclean, as your people call us, to give you a drink? Won't you become defiled? Now, the history here is really important. Remember, at one point, these are the Samaritans, and at one point in 722 BC, the Assyrians carried away all of the northern empire, the northern region of Israel. And what became of Samaria? Remember, Samaria was the capital. Well, some of the Jewish people remained. But the Assyrians moved back into the land of Israel, settlers from five Babylonic kingdoms. So guess what happened? They all intermarried. The land had become known to Judah as one of half-breeds who have become defiled by impure religion. They were known as rebels, completely impure and corrupted. Well, it got worse. When Judah was carried off to Babylon itself in 597, they later returned to the land to rebuild the temple. The Samaritans came over and says, "Hey, we want to help you. We want that to be part of our temple." Judah said, "Forget it. You have remarried. You have defiled yourselves." So the Samaritans were furious. They went and built their own temple on Mount Gerizim. So from the Jewish perspective, the Samaritans were a bunch of defiled, rebelled half-breeds whose religion was viewed as a defection from the worship of the true God. You know, to this day, the Samaritans still worship on Mount Gerizim. They wear white, and they have the Samaritan Pentateuch. That's the first five books of Moses. They don't have the rest of the Old Testament, but they have that. And what is developed are two rival groups for the worship of the true God. That's what Jesus was dealing with. Now, I want you to picture this. Woman, ma'am, give me a drink. Do we have any idea? And we could even put it in our terms, our country. Do we have any idea in this country what racial and religious barriers are and how strong those things are? You know, years ago in the South, and today they've put these things up in museums, but in the South, to teach people the abuses of these barriers that we set up, but there would be drinking fountains, and you would see one that said white and the other that said colored. Look, the Jews viewed the Samaritans as inferior in every way. So put it in context. Jesus walks up to the Samaritan woman and asks for a drink from her vessel. That would be like a white president walking in 1950 to the fountain that said colored and asking a black woman for a drink of water. Racial tensions in this country once led to riots. No different. That's exactly what happened here. They had all these barriers in mind. And here's the beauty of that. None of them mattered to Christ. We erect them. We make them. None of that mattered to Christ. He was tearing all that down. Matter of fact, Galatians 3 tears down all racial barriers. And it's a tragedy that there's racism. Galatians 3 says that in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, a slave nor free, for we are all one in Christ. He has torn those physical, racial separations down. That's the beauty of what the gospel brings. And that's what I want to tell people today who are so much fighting for that. You're fighting the wrong battle. It's the gospel we should be fighting for, because the gospel in Christ tears all that down. That's the beautiful gospel we preach. But here's the thing. Christ is tearing down physical separations, racial barriers, but he's also dealing with the greatest separation, That's what's primarily on his mind. What's the greatest separation? The separation between God and man. It's a spiritual one. That's the greatest barrier we can't overcome. So what does Christ say? Verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. And then he expands on this in verse 13. Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will be in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, we have to put all this together. Jesus knows her. He knows her intimately. He knows her whole life. He knows her past. He knows what's in her heart. He knows all the hidden stuff that's going on there. He sees all the idols that are stored up and treasured there. And what's the big one in this text? Well, this woman is a serial divorcee. Five husbands. And we'll unpack this tomorrow. And an adulteress. She has had five husbands. Now listen, and the one she now has is not her husband. Most people haven't thought through the implications of that. If I said to you today, you're driving around someone else's car. If I said it's not your car, it's somebody else's, right? The one she now has is not her husband. In other words, she has naturally progressed in her sin. From all these divorces now to just being an adulteress, she is sleeping with somebody else's husband. So what do you say about her problem? She's enslaved. She is enslaved. But to what? Men? Yes. Even further, sexual morality? Yes. She just keeps going on and on and on, trying to find, trying to be satisfied with men. And the latest incident is just the worst. A serial adulteress. Now, I find it extremely amazing that Jesus knew all this about her. Five husbands, been divorced five times, life is a mess. And yet this appointment from eternity was to come to her at this very moment and give her, this sexually immoral, adulterous, half-breed rebel, living water. I'm not so sure the church today would treat very kindly somebody like this, right? I mean, we would think she shouldn't even get the privilege of living water. I can't get away from how wonderful our Lord is. He knew all this about her. He pursued her. He's going to give her life. And what does he offer her? Ma'am, if you had knew who was speaking to you, asking for a drink, you would have asked, and he would have given you living water. This water, if you drink, you'll never thirst again. It will spring in your heart to everlasting life. You see, we're going to come back to that tomorrow. Only Jesus can satisfy. And in this life, our hearts are so restless. We're jumping from idol to idol, craving to craving, passion to passion, and we're never filled. Jesus is saying, you keep doing that, you'll never, ever be filled. It's an endless cycle all the way to hell. But Jesus says, I offer living water. Water that truly satisfies the soul unto everlasting life. Oh, we must believe in Jesus Christ. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by the United Reformed Church here in Linden. We are a church where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We exposit the Word of God. Presently, we're going through the Gospel of John in the mornings. Visit us for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are the worship service times. We would love to get to know you, and we are welcoming you to come here over the radio broadcast. 10 a.m., 7 p.m., visit us on the web, lindenurc.com. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.